pin of the coax and touching ground with it. And literally, I could see the sparks from the accumulated static in ordinary weather. So it does happen. The antenna is long enough out there. It will pick up sizable static voltages, K2 EIR.
Well, I've got the the coax is what does have all the feed lines do have CERT suppression on them, and they didn't fail. In fact, what I did that night is, like I said, it sounded like the coax connection came out of the back of the radio. I moved the antennas over to the other HF transceiver, and everything came to life. Everything checked out normal. And when I moved back to the Pro 3, it didn't do anything. Whether I keyed up the microphone or used the front panel transmit button, the transmit LED did not light. It was the strangest thing that's ever happened here. If static did get past the suppressors, which I find very, very hard to believe, I would have more loss than just one radio. So I don't know. I'm pretty dumbfounded.
Not necessarily, because you know what? You could have had an evolving, you know, situation on a board where, you know, maybe, it was a Pro 3, you said, and was it a later Pro 3?
Can't get it repaired, or you have to send it to the manufacturer because, again, it's so dense and specialized and whatever, and they want a fortune for it, and it's ouch, you know, it's an expensive rig, and, you know, it could last a long time, or it could go suddenly, and, you know, I don't know if you have ARRL insurance and can submit a claim. Of course, as you say, you don't want it to happen again, even if you bought a new radio, and I sort of feel the same way. I sympathize with it. K2 EIR.
I love the beginning, Harry, but I shut up quickly. So let me ask a question, Hector. You know, is this a Pro 3, and is it a later Pro 3, the ones with the newer finals?
I don't know when they made that change. I know I've had the radio for about 6.5 years.
It's probably the older finals. Well, I don't remember, but a lot of these, shall we say, ROHS-compliant radios, they're developing little whiskers, microscopic whiskers that could end up shorting the thing, depending on the environment, you know? That could be where you ended up.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I never had to send it in before until till recently. I don't know. It was the oddest thing. And, that's the thing. Howie, if I bought a brand new transceiver, I wouldn't want it to happen. I mean, I would still do what I normally do anyway, is flip the antenna switch over to ground so that the radios are disconnected electrically anyway, not physically. But insurance, no. I'm not sure if it would cover a flaw anyway or something that old. So, I don't know. I'm actually on the fence about going through with the repair because of its current market value and ultimately what this repair will cost me with the shipping out there, the repair of the parts, and the shipping back. You know, on the other side of the coin, if I did offer it up for sale as a parts radio, how many people out there are equipped to repair it, even if they were? Even myself here. It's even if I did find the components that failed, there's a very good chance that I wouldn't be able to fix it anyway, because the components are so puny that I don't have a soldering iron that can even get into where the components could lie.
2JEK.
Go ahead, Don. Then I have a suggestion.
Okay, this is W2JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, while we're waiting for Don to come back, let me offer my suggestion. You might ask Woody, AK2F, if he's interested in it, for how much, because he likes to acquire basket case radios at a reasonable price and then revive them and use them.
All right. My email on QRZ is good, if you don't have my other address. Just send me his info and it can go from there. I don't know. I don't know how much of how much damage this thing actually has. According to the estimate, it's a few IC chips, which in essence affect the PLL and the main unit, which is a gigantic module. It's like a 5x7 self-contained, very well shielded module on the underside of the transceiver. So I don't know. I'll take his info and ask him. Otherwise, I'll fix it. I miss it because that's my primary operating HF rig. See, the other one I have sitting here is a TS-2000. It works, but it's nothing like the Pro 3.
I hear you. I don't think he doesn't do repairs for others. He just doesn't. But if he can get a decent price for something he's got to work on, you know, the diagnostics have already been done, so just give him the laundry list and ask him what he wants for it, blah, 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 or, you know, ask him, you know, for a price based on what you think is fair. And, you know, but you can find Alpha Kilo 2 Foxtrot. His name is Woody. He's a real good guy, too, by the way. And he's not one of these sharks looking for to scam you, okay?
Amen.
Oh, yes. I know Woody. I know him a long time. Yeah, he bought a dual-band ICOM mobile from me that had an inherent problem, and he found the problem and fixed it, and I think he's got the radio on the air. So it's good. Yeah, I have his contact information. Who's the comment?
Rich, AC2GI. Yeah, he is taking in repair work again, Gordon. And it's just AK2F@AWRL.net.
He really? I didn't know that. I talk to him almost every day, either on the ham bands or at work, so I'll have to ask him about that. All right, very good. Good, Rich. Thank you.
W2JEK.
Ah, the Don is back.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what happened to me before, but I was just asking if the antenna switch we were on yesterday, you were on 15 meters and you switched to 80 meters. Is that antenna switch ground the 80 meter antenna when you're on 15 meters and vice versa, the 80 meter gets grounded until when you're on 15 and when you're on 15, the 80 meter gets grounded, vice versa, and the other antennas get grounded, or is it only when you switch to ground? Because I'm wondering if your 80 meter antenna got hot, did not, and you switched directly from the 15 to the 80 meter, and it could have picked up a static charge that way. Over.
Well, Don, the answer is yes. When I switch between antennas, the others go to ground. And the evening that this happened, I did not transmit on the radio. I was just merely tuning around. And I found these two stations that were having, it was, to me, a very interesting QSO. So I just moved the beam in their direction, and I was just listening to them for about 40 minutes. while I was screwing around on the internet, and then when the band shut down and they faded away, I moved to 80 meters to listen there or get on the air there, and when I moved there, I thought that's when I found the problem. And I went to 40, and it was just as quiet as 80, and then when I attempted to tune up, that's when I noticed the transmit light didn't come on, and then I did the diagnostics from there. I moved off of the Pro 3, moved over to the Kenwood, and I have a manual switch that where I can switch the HF antennas between transceivers in here. And so if I needed to use the Kenwood for HF, it's just a flip of the switch. That switch in here, when I'm not in here, that switch goes to ground. So the radios are electrically disconnected from the incoming feed lines, which have their own surge suppression on them.
Surge suppressors, they're supposed to ground out the antenna when the if you get a static discharge?
Yeah, I have the Alpha Delta, what do you call them? I have them in here somewhere. Oh, these are the plugs. I don't remember what the model is, and I don't have it handy. But they're all flange mounted, and I've got a set out at the tower, and there's a redundant set in here. So one of them's going to blow, or both. And neither set of suppressors went bad. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get out onto HF, any HF band, even on the other radio.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right. And the suppressor would ground out your antenna if it was at a static discharge. Unless it failed. I don't know. Or could it have gone open somehow? Then your radio wouldn't work. That answers that question. So, yeah, whatever. Okay, you got a mystery on your hands. Back to that. W2JK.
I'm working on a project here, so I'm more than happy to have you guys talk away and entertain the troops. All right, very good. Anybody else on this topic? Let me pose a question to you, Hector, and thank you for your comments as well as your problem. Would you describe your lightning protection situation end to end at this point?
Hey, what we have from the shack, the feed lines go to a. I'm looking it up right now because I can't for the life of me. I don't remember what they are, what they're called. But they're made by Alpha Delta. If I can find my Alpha Delta here. So my feed lines go to these. Here it is, Alpha Delta model ATT3G50 coax surge suppressors, and there's a replaceable plug that's in there. And yes, if the voltage threshold is exceeded, these plugs will break the bridge inside and they will go open. So anyway, they go from the equipment to a copper ground bar, which goes to my station ground. Then my feed lines go out to the tower, where in an enclosed box, which is also grounded, I have surge these very same suppressors on a grounded backplane. My Ameritron switch is in there. The rotator surge suppressor is in there. And then out of that box, up the tower. So one way or the other, should I get some sort of static discharge or a direct lightning hit, one side or both sides will open, and it won't come up into the equipment. So, and that's what we got here to protect the feed lines and the rotator cable.
Comment.
Hey, Jim.
SK20. I've had PLL problems like, you know, part of like what you described, and then there have been in the Kenwoods. The Kenwoods are notorious for that problem. It usually ends up being poor solder joints and things loosening up because they pack them with paraffin. I don't know if you know that. On the 940s and the 930s, they did that. And as that cooled and moved, it actually pulled the components from the board. But your problem sounds more like, let me let it drop, more like something went with a voltage regulator and then took out a whole string of things. Because if you look at the block diagram of your radio, whatever came in, if indeed something did come in, it went through an awful lot of other stuff before it got to the PLL. It would have taken out IF. It would have taken out front end before it got to that. I think you might have lost the regulator. Voltage popped up and then took out those components. At least that's what it sounds like to me. Because if it was a lightning thing, and plus you probably would have had other problems. And if it was, a direct hit, forget it. Everything's gone. But if it was a static, and I have the Alpha Deltas, and I've had them for years, and believe me, they do work. That can happen, K20.
Good point, Jim. Yeah, that's what I've got on my shack, too, although mine's not quite as pretty as yours, at least the way you described it, Hector. But I have some mounted on a bus bar. I have the ones that are on the flange mount, and I basically have that flange mounted to a 90-degree aluminum bar. And then that's put into the aluminum entry plate that it's in turn grounded. So all the coaxes come through a wall to the internal aluminum plate on the inside wall, and with three self-tapping screws, basically those two pieces of aluminum, the aluminum plate and the aluminum angle bar where all the arresters are mounted, make contact. So I can unscrew the three screws and then pull the coaxes into the ham shack through the wall, because the other side of the arrester is basically buried in the wall by the aluminum plate. And then I run jumpers from the aluminum plate on the protected side on the inside, basically, off to the to the operating position about 15 feet away. Over.
Hey, that works. Whatever works. I like to go. I like to do things. What's the Urban Dictionary term? Overkill. So, I like redundancy even for the redundancy. And hey, whatever works. My antenna system. I replaced my entire antenna system. It's probably 2 years, maybe 3 years now. And so now that I have a giant lightning rod in the sky, I spared no expense to keep any rapid rise and surge out of the equipment. And I don't know what happened there. I mean, that was one thing the tech at ICOM that I spoke to did mention, that you probably had some overvoltage there. But I don't know. That radio does have a dedicated power supply. It's an Astron SS30M, and I still got it here, and it's I've always had a meter on it. Of course, that night I wasn't looking at it. My back was to the table. But if it did at all spike, that could be. I'm almost tempted to try another. I have another linear supply sitting here. I may take that switching supply away from the Pro and put the linear supply in its place, and see how it goes from there. I don't know how to. I don't know if I could duplicate the problem or anything of that nature with that switching supply. Like I said, with that the night that happened, I didn't transmit not 1 second on that radio. It was on for probably a couple hours, and I was doing nothing but listening. So that's a strange one. But that's really the only
repeater. Repeater, timeout, clear.
He almost got it. All right, no problem. Well, I have to run, guys. I have to actually go on an errand. So I'm going to bid you adieu. If you guys like to continue the conversation, I will join you in the mobile, but I will be mobile and probably only good for about maybe the next half hour. So I'm going to transition to my vehicle. I think we got everybody's questions in. Are there anybody else want to comment on this or any other topics? I'll set that up and I'll get into the mobile and we'll go from there.
Yeah, this is K20.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hector, I was not talking about your power supply that's feeding the radio. What I was talking about is losing the regulator for the PLL circuit. If you take a look at that radio, you'll see that those things run on less than 13.8 volts. And there's a regulator in there to handle that. In fact, there's a number of different regulators inside the radio. If you lost that circuit and you lost that regulator, that voltage jump up and it would have taken out that thing. That's what I suggested may have happened. Of course, you'll find out if they give you a list of when they give you a list of things that they replaced. If they replace the regulator, you'll know right away. And that's what the comment. I wasn't talking about the power supply, the external power supply, because if that went out, you would have done more damage than that. Back to that.
They sent me a couple of what I presume to be part numbers on the estimate. I'm going to take a look at that and cross-reference that to the service manual and see if I can pinpoint what it is. Okay, I thought maybe it was a... Okay, I got you, Jim. I got you. I'm about three-quarters awake. I'm usually horizontal by now, which shortly I'm going to become. So I got to get up early in the morning. But, I'm going to look at that, and, because they were asking me, well, what do you want to do with this? I said, well, between now and Monday, I'll have an answer whether or not I want them to repair it and go from there. I'll see if Woody would be interested in that, then I'll tell him to ship it back. Otherwise, I'll fix it and put it back in service. So we'll see what happens. But thanks to everybody for inputs and insights, and that very well could be what went wrong is that regulator in the radio. It's a shame. It's the first time I've had to send it out since I've had it. So I guess it's the first time for everything.
Want to repair it?
It was a little bit of a double.
Okay, how much do they want to have it repaired?
The estimate is $710.
And how much does it cost to ship each one?
It was 130 going. I'm sure it's going to be 130 coming back.
You can't buy a new one for $1,000. Might as well repair it.
That's what I'm thinking. Or I sell it for whatever I can get for it and upgrade. Not that there's a huge difference between, say, the Pro 3 and the 7600, which is the direction I would go. But I don't know. Either way would be fine. But I'm kind of leaning towards repairing it. But we'll see. If I can't find an interested party in its current condition, then I'll just repair it and get it back here.
I'd repair it in a heartbeat. Even if later on you decide to get a 7600, you just have to accumulate an extra $1,000 toward that end price. Because they're selling for $1,800 to $2,000 for a Pro 3 now. So, you know, unless you get somebody's questionable basket case. So I would go with all the factory updates and all that other nonsense they're going to do to it, as well as fixing the problem. You know, that's a no-brainer, W2TV thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm leaning towards. In fact, I bought that to replace my Pro, well, go in place of. And I tell you, that thing, it's fabulous. So, yeah, like I said, that's most likely the direction I'm going to go. So, we'll go from there. Well, I'm going to scoot. I got to go split the sheets and cuddle with my teddy bear, because I got to get up in a couple hours for work. Thanks again, everybody, and 7-3, and we'll keep you abreast of what's going on here. 7-3 all from W2NPR.
Hey, very good. Thank you, Hector, for your question. Who's next for the comment? All right, very good. Thanks, everybody, for attending the net tonight, and we'll close at this time, and I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater, and thank you all for your participation. It was fun tonight. This is KTBAR, W2TCP, off and clear.
Right now I have a light to moderate rain. Same here. I don't know if I told you yesterday, if I talked to you again, that weird skip yesterday was coming in. I was listening to, it was going on to about 9:30 in the morning. I was listening to that repeater in Upper Connecticut, and these guys were coming in, what, about an S5 to an S7 on my meter on this Olinko.
Wow, that's some kind of crazy condition. I mean, that's rare, but back-to-back days, that's even rarer.
Yeah, Jim remembers the call sign of the repeater. I had it written down here somewhere. I can't find it, but I looked it up one time, and I think it came up to upper Connecticut, because when they were talking yesterday, they were talking about going down into the valley and up in a mountain and fog in the valley, and with their temperature was only in the maybe just about 50, 51 degrees yesterday morning.
I think the one is something like K1ETN, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That could be it, Steve. I remember Jim said it perfectly yesterday. He remembered it, but it was funny. I don't know what 955 machine they were talking about, but they said they were hearing another 955 machine.
Yeah, I think there's a two in Jersey. People say there's the one in Connecticut. And I have heard a Pennsylvania machine also on this frequency.
The one I was talking about in Connecticut, I think the PL is 100.
I'll be right back, Rock. I heated up some food and it's not hot. So, not hot enough. I'm going to reheat this. I'll be right back. KB2TIA.
Okay, very good, Steve. KD2, VOR.
Alrighty, popped it back in the microwave. I was texting Jim. I told him I'd be out here in 5 minutes, so I wonder if he's listening. K2MIJ, KB2TIA. Okay, nothing heard. KD2BOR, over to you.
Yeah, Steve, where's Beth Page, New York?
That's just a couple miles from my location.
Yeah, this 7900 dual band antenna I got coming for the mobile. It just said it's coming out of China, but it says now it's processed through Bethpage, Long Island.
Well, Bethpage has a history of aeronautical achievements and manufacturing. In fact, they built the lunar module that landed on the moon was built in Bethpage.
I can see the plant from my house.
Good morning, Jim. You got that that call sign of that repeater again that we were talking about yesterday?
Yeah, good morning, Rocky. Hey, Steve. That call was K1CDL, I believe.
Hey, very good. Thank you. Pick it up with Steve. I want to look that up again. KD2BOR.
Okay. Good morning, Steve. I'm as I told you, I'm kind of discombobulated here. I woke up and I'm still not fully awake. So anyway, your radio is sitting here happily churning away.
Hope it wasn't my text messages that stirred you. I'm glad you've been having so much fun with it. I really am. I feel bad about taking it back. I don't want to mention what I text you that's on eBay on the air here. But if you're not going to be interested, I might throw a bid on that.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead, do that. I would do it if I was you. And what was I going to say? Oh, okay. Not everything is good news.
I couldn't get any antenna to tune on 15 or 17. Every other band is fine. I think your problems lie within the 15 and 17 meter range.
Okay. What board do you think that that problem might be on? Do you have a guess? Because I saw the spare parts. Pretty much you can pick up any board in that radio for $50.
Okay, I saw that text. I wasn't sure what that text meant. Okay, I don't know. I really didn't. I haven't looked at the schematic to see what the arrangements are board wise. But worst comes to worst, you could do a well, yeah, that's true. If you don't know which one it was, you'd be buying every board. I don't know. But that would be something that you could probably ask somebody who's more attuned to technical portion. You might even get in touch with ICOM, explain the problem you have, and they may be able to suggest what board that may involve.
Okay, very good. When I got 15 to tune here, it was giving me a 2 to 2.5 SWR, and that was with the dipole and the clothesline. 17, I couldn't get the tune here at all. It just kept telling me error. You know, the tuner flashes error. If the power lights up all the way across and it stays on after you stop transmitting, that's to tell you that there's an error with that. If the SWR part lights up, it's to tell you something else. I forget what it tells you. But and then to see which antenna you're on, when you press antenna, it'll light up either the left or the right side. The little blinking lights and stuff all are telling you something. So that's the one thing the manual can tell you that you know, you can't really figure out on your own.
Yeah, well, that's good to know, because that clears up a lot of the things that were happening there. Okay, yeah, that's what she does. She goes into error mode. I can't get anything, whether it's the delta loops, whether it's the dipole. The dipole, I was able to, my 80-meter dipole, I was able to tune 10, 12, and every band in between except for 15 and 17. Deltas work on every band except for those two. So, and the dipole that I threw together when it was first here wouldn't tune 17 or 15 either. So I'm saying 17 and 15 are your problem, and probably also have to do with the RF issue. I would think if you could figure out the board that's taking care of that and swap that out, you'd probably have a working radio, fully working radio.
Okay, very good. I told Rocky I had some heating, and it's done. It loves 12, that radio, because I was getting out about 125 watts solid on 12 meters, and it'll do over 100 on 20 also. So it likes those two bands. But I don't know what the problem is with 15 and 17. You know, it may have to, I'll look into it, and I'll see if there's any discussion of anybody else that had a problem like that. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. KB2TIA, I'll be on the side. I'm going to get my food, Jim. But I'm glad you've been having fun. You know, I've been amused with your text and all the contacts you made and the pictures you put up. So, very good. KB2TIA.
Okay, Steve, go ahead. Go get your food. I'll try to wake up. I'm probably going to go grab something to drink and shake out the cobwebs. But I've had it. It pumps out 100 watts on every band. CW, it'll pump out 100 watts every band. Working band. I told you I had a little issue on 80, but that's the antenna itself. I told you I have that issue myself. But I was able to bring it up to about 75 watts on 80 without any issues at all. So anyway, go ahead, go get something to eat. I'm gonna go get something to drink and try to wake myself up before I go to sleep. So I will talk to you in a bit. KB2TIA, and this is K2MIJ. Going to get something to drink.
Okay, Jim. And if it's okay with you, I could stop by afternoon when I drop my son off. If that's all right, you let me know when you get back. Rocky, I'll be right back. I'm going to go grab my food. KB2TIA.
Okay, very good. KD2, BOR.
KB2, TIA.
What are we eating?
It's a hamburger helper, and she threw in some peas and carrots.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good. I always love simple meals like that.
I do the same thing, but I have diced onions up in it, too. So I'll fry the meat, the chopped meat, I'll put in the onions. So she doesn't take that step.
Neither do I when it comes to onions. And I can pass on the cooked carrots, too. I eat most of my carrots raw. I don't eat any cooked carrots at all. But onions, there's only one good onion in this world, and that's one that doesn't grow.
I remember we had this discussion once. I love onions. I add them in a lot of recipes I make. So I'm a big fan. So it's, you'll never convince me otherwise.
Oh, no problem with that. You're right. I think we did have this discussion. I don't have to worry about onions going in anything in Debbie's house because her father's like me. He won't eat them either, so I'm safe.
I can't blame you, Rock. You know, there's enough things in this life to bring you to tears. You don't need an onion to do it, too.
Yeah, that's what I always said, Steve. Why would anybody want to eat something that makes you cry?
To make everything delicious.
I know some people, I think Charlie's the same way. He has a hot dog. By the time you put all the stuff on the hot dog, you don't even know you're eating a hot dog. Tell you, I got three things. Two things coming from China, and one thing coming from Hong Kong. I'll tell you, they must send it by a rowboat.
Yeah, I know. And you can't beat the prices. You know, I want to buy American, but we've had this discussion too. I mean, take for instance the Bofang antennas. You know, they're charging $19.95 over here plus shipping or whatever. And then you can buy two of them over there and get it shipped for like $9.
I know. I want to put another K400C mount on my other door on my truck. Because I bought a bigger dual-band antenna. I found this thing that's a a duplicate. I don't know if it's duplicate yet. According to the picture, it looks the same. It's an empty K400 mount. They call it an RB400, made by Nagoya. And then I found the person in the States that had the Diamond C-101 UHF base with the 6.5 feet of RG-316 in the connector. I got that for $14.99 plus $5 and something cents shipping. I bought a whole nother K400C setup for $36.30. My last one cost me $70-something when I bought it from Antenna Farm or somebody.
Let's hope Jim come back. K2MIJ, KB2TIA. He sounded really beat. I think maybe he went back to bed. I was going to ask him when it came to CW, he did a... what was it called? I don't know what the heck. He said he put up a picture on the Facebook group with the DX stations that spotted him on CW. And one of the categories says SNR, and I had no idea what that means. I don't know, signal-to-noise ratio? I don't know what that means. So I wanted to ask him.
Yeah, I have no clue. I went to the tracking site. It looks like... they're processing it through Kearney, New Jersey, out of Bethpage right now, that antenna. eBay didn't show that information.
Yeah, it's only a couple miles away. Maybe 3-4 miles from my house.
It said Bethpage, Long Island, only because you told me it wasn't far from you. The only thing it said on the site was Bethpage, New York. I had a feeling it was out by you, but I wasn't sure. I don't know that much about New York.
K2MIJ back.
Welcome back, Mr. Kata. Excuse me, that would have been better if it didn't have my mouth full.
Yeah, you didn't sound like Horshack there. Anyway, I am back. I got myself a cup of soup. I need something warm and... I don't know. I had tea, and that thing got cold on me. I don't know how I fell asleep. I fell asleep right here in the chair. And to be honest with you, I don't know how long I was out.
On that signal report thing you sent, you put up the picture of, what does SNR mean?
Oh, okay. The reverse beacon network. Yeah, that means signal-to-noise ratio. In other words, how well your signal is being received in relationship to the noise that the skimmer's receiver is currently... what the current noise level of the receiver would be. So that would be your signal relative to the noise. So as you can see, some of them were very good. I mean, upwards of 29 dB above the noise level, and some of them were not so good, you know. But usually that's where my signal is in QRP. All those things are relative, because a lot of times you won't even get spotted, and you're like, oh man, I'm not getting out, and then you'll sit and you'll work a station in Australia without any issue, and you'll be 10 over 9, and it's a great item. It lets you know where you're being heard, but it's not always 100%.
Okay, I know that don't know too much about the CW side of the hobby, so. What I did know back in the day with my dad, because he loves CW, I've long forgotten. So I was trying to figure out what SNR stood for, and I was coming up with different things. So I came up with signal-to-noise ratio, and especially when I saw dBs listed, you know. So I was trying to figure out exactly what that was. But thanks for clearing that up. See, I learn something every day.
Well, think of it as it was a great system devised once SDR's software-defined radios came about. You can think of it as like the DX cluster, except it's all robotic. All that is you know, SDRs that just sit there and monitor the frequencies when, you know, their owner isn't using them. And there's a skimmer program, that's what they're called skimmers. And they're actually listening from like 160 meters on down to, so in other words, the software-defined radios are not just listening on one band. They're listening to every single frequency out there that's available. And so it's a great way of having your signal caught. And it's a good barometer to see where you are actually putting RF out there. So it's like the DX cluster, except it's robotic.
If you were an unknown signal, they could triangulate you, too. I was just thinking that. Any case, if you're available tomorrow, I could come by you afternoon after I drop my son off.
Yeah, that would be fine. I will be around. And yeah, you got to come get this thing before I get attached to it. The 817 is like staring daggers at it. it's taking me away from my little radio. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. But it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Like I told you the other day. I heard PK3MO on again the other night, and I was going to call him with 100 watts, and he had just he was telling the station he was talking to that he was he had to get out of there. His daughter had just texted him, so I said, all right, I won't hold him up. And I was thinking, it would have been nice to work Australia. And then as I spin the dial, I hear VK2IZI calling. And first shot. And I'm going, this is just too easy, Steve. This is just way too easy.
Well, I have a lot of success, I have to say. When I was, you can't just compare that to 10 meters. That's not fair to do. But, you know, in comparison, when I was using the HTX-10 on 10 meters, I would have to call and call and call. You know, it would take like 10 calls sometimes to get a station. Typically, with the ICOM, I find I get somebody, if not first off, like within the first three tries. Unless it's in a really extreme situation, like where they have S9 noise levels and a big pileup, then I have trouble, you know. And that around the Middle East is, getting past into the Middle East has always been a little bit troublesome for me. So, otherwise, I have to say I've had amazing success, and I feel very lucky. But I think that's part of being here on Long Island. You know, we have the water close by, and, you've been here to my house. From my backyard, you're looking over the roofs of the houses to my south. So, it's just, I think I have a good location.
Yeah, we do. We're very close to the pond there, to the briny. And, signals, take off that way. That's why Florida is fantastic. When I lived down in Florida, man. I mean, even now you can listen. You'll always hear the Forelanders working all the good DX. I think it has to do with Florida's we're just a couple of feet above sea level there, and I know where I live, the tallest point in Florida was the garbage dump over there on in Pompano Beach. That was the tallest point in Florida, is the dump. So, yeah, they have a great location. Surrounded by salt water and absolutely just clear elevation to the horizon. So, yeah, we're pretty good over here, close to the South Shore, and we get right across the Atlantic without much trouble. But,
Yep, I've had some fun, and you can now consider your rig. I've got two CW contacts. I worked at Bulgarian, and then I worked 984KW in Croatia. So she's seen two CW contacts go through her. Anyway, I don't know. I don't want to leave Rocky out. So I think Rocky is still sitting there. I don't know if he's scouring eBay or what. But I'll pass it back to you and then give it over to Rocky. KB2TIA and the group K2MIJ.
Very good. Maybe when you come it gets back around to you, you can tell me if you managed to figure out the SWR system. I wanted to set the SWR. It wants you to use a key, I think, in the manual. It wants you to use the CW key, and I didn't have one here. So I don't know if you want to give that a shot before you give it back. I would appreciate that. And Rocky, what's your surroundings like? I mean, do you have tall buildings, you know? You're fairly inland, right? You're not really near the coast?
Yeah, the closest water I got to me is the Passaic River, and I got the Meadowlands swamps. From my front door at my shop here, I can see out east, right, and I can see where the World Trade Center. I can see the new building they got up there. I can see New York City from my shop door perfectly from here.
Oh, okay. I don't know about the swamp, though. That sounds like it's a dead zone.
They call it the Meadowlands. It's just a bunch of water out there. I think it's part of the, I think it's actually part of what they call the Newark Bay, I think it goes into. I'm not sure where that actually, I'm not sure where the Newark Bay, I'm not sure where the Passaic River eventually dumps out. I don't know if it dumps into the Hudson or dumps into the ocean. That I can't tell you. I'm not good on that kind of stuff. But that's basically the closest water I got to me.
Whenever we meet, Rock, and I know one day we will, do you want these chassis? I have a 142, I have a 146, and probably a couple of other things here. They're yours for the taking. You could part them out or restore them or whatever you want to do. But whenever I meet you, I'll bring the chassis if you want them.
Fine. And no problem. You two guys doubled, Steve. You won, hands down, unfortunately. Jim, what'd you have to say? Go ahead. No problem, Steve. I'll take that. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, I'm sorry. We probably keyed up just about the same time. What I was saying, Rocky, I was saying I wouldn't worry about it. You're close enough to the shoreline, you'll get out fine. I was saying that you just got to get that general, and I know you're studying, so I know you'll get it without much problem. And once you get privileges on 20 and the other band, you will do just fine. You don't have to. I mean, if you want to use anything as a bellwether, you can just look at me, throw a wire out there, do something, and you will get out. So that's basically what I had said, and I'm still trying to wake up here, so I may sound a little flustered. I don't know what it is. I guess I was really tired. I went out like a light, and I'm still groggy.
Very good, Jim. Steve, one more question I got to ask you, KD2VOR. Your radio does not have a transmit key on it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, the gentleman that looked at my 850 for me to make sure it was all right and road tested it, he showed me how to use my automatic tuner. He told me go on CW, turn the power half, turn the carrier down to half, and I have a button that says send or transmit or something on the front of the radio, and I do that, and I hit the automatic tuner, and it tunes up.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it throws a carrier for you with